the kingdom and build your kingdom here. And we're talking a little bit today about the disciples coming to Jesus and asking him, what is the kingdom like? And I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall to listen to this discussion, because a lot of the disciples were fishermen, right? They were tough guys. They were entrepreneurs. They know how to make nets. They knew how to cast nets. They knew how to catch fish. They knew how to sell the fish. They were businessmen. They were entrepreneurs. They understood everything about the fishing industry, and they were not necessarily lightweight, all right? And so when Jesus came and said, the kingdom is coming, can you imagine what they must have thought of? This is great. No more Herod. This is exciting. We're going to band together, and Jesus is going to lead us, and we're going to go to Jerusalem, and we're going to make some big changes, and we're going to create an army, and we're going to create kings, and we're going to create princes, and we're going to go, and we're going to take over. It's going to be wonderful. And so they go to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, tell us what the kingdom is like. What's it going to be? Tell us about the sword fights. Tell us about the battles. Tell us about the leadership. Tell us how it's going to end. Tell us how we're going to conquer, because you're in the head of the line. And Jesus looks at him. He goes, well, I'm going to tell you what the kingdom of like is, what the kingdom of God is like. It's like this. It's like yeast that goes in the bread. Or it's like a little tiny mustard seed that grows into a large tree and birds are in its branches. Can you imagine what must have happened? How they must have, their mind must have said, wait a minute. No, that's not right. That can't be it. It's got to be something more than that. Are you sure? Did you wake up on the wrong side this morning? I don't understand. But you see, that's what the kingdom is. It's not battles. It's not fighting. It's not swords. The kingdom is so totally different that what Jesus talks about here is so crucial that we have to understand it. We have to understand it. Now, we're just going to look at a couple things this morning from our reading, and it is so important to understand this about kingdom. And I'm going to start with the second half of the parable where Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like yeast that goes in the flour and it fills up the whole dough. Now, we talked about this in the children's sermon, but I'm sure you know what yeast does, right? Yeast is important. Yeast is that substance that when it goes into flour and oil and water, it turns it from this flat pancake into something that's wonderful and delicious and it smells great. How many of you have ever tried to sell a house? You know, and the real estate agent says, listen, you really want to get this house sold, get a bread machine and cook some bread right about an hour before the people come over. And they're going to walk in and they're immediately going to smell that, and they're going to want to buy your house. They're going to want to pay you twice as much as what you're asking for, because it's so powerful. And, I mean, let's be honest. We love our bread. Do we not love fresh cooked bread with some butter on it? If you don't like fresh cooked bread with butter on it, you're probably allergic to gluten or something like that. It's the only thing I can think of. But that's what yeast does. Technically, yeast does this. It starts to eat into the sugars in the bread, and it creates carbon dioxide, which lifts up the loaf, and it creates a better expanded structure of the bread. In other words, what becomes frail, once you have yeast, it kind of congeals the bread, and so it becomes stronger, and then it adds flavor. And what Jesus says is that's what the kingdom of God is like. He says, when we come into this world, when God comes into the world through you and the kingdom comes through you, this is what it's like. In my opinion, it becomes irresistible, because bread is irresistible. Yeast makes the world a better place. And Christians who are following Jesus faithfully make the world a better place. So as we talk about building your kingdom here, the question I have to ask you is Christ Lutheran Vail Church making the world a better place? Are we making Vail a better place? I mean, let's be honest, Vail is not a bad place to live, right? We've got a great school district. We've got great people. We've got great views. We have, I'm sure, people living in our community that are doctors and lawyers. We have people that are smart in our computer. We got some great people. We have a Safeway, for crying out loud. We are a great community. What more could you possibly want? But the fact is that all that stuff is great, but it doesn't add that yeast into the community, because only God's people can add that yeast. You know, it's done much in the background. You know, you put the yeast in there, and then you put it somewhere and cover it up, and it just kind of does its thing. And the church is the same way. There is so much that this congregation does that's kind of in the background that a lot of people don't necessarily see. So, for example, you may not know this, but once a quarter, all the religious leaders in the Vail School District meet, and we plan stuff for the community. You probably didn't know that. The biggest thing that we plan for the community is a thing called the Vail Family University. I don't know if you know that, but we've been very involved in the Vail Family University. We, 7 or 8 years ago, I was in charge of it. We had Dr. Kevin Lehman come that year, and then the next year we had Wes Moore, who is this guy who had gone to prison, or he had found out there was a guy in prison who had the same name as him, Wes Moore, and he wrote a book called The Other Wes Moore. We brought him in here to share his story. And all these people that come in and share, they're very strong in their faith, and they are able to come into the school district and share their story, and when the kids come talk to them, it's like, well, how is it that you are able to do the things you do? And it's like, well, it's my faith that helps drive me to do these things. We're very involved in the Vail Family University. Of course, our MOPS group is incredible. Trunk or Treat is an incredible event. I think we're going to do that again this year. You know, one of the things about our Trunk or Treat is we don't do it as a fundraiser. If we wanted to, we could probably make a fortune off of Trunk or Treat as a fundraiser, because everybody's looking for something to do, right? But that wouldn't necessarily be loving the community around us. It would not necessarily show Christ's love to the community around us. It's funny, we did the Trunk or Treat years and years and years, and then the last year we did it, before we built the ministry center, every other school in the Vail School District decided they were going to do a Trunk or Treat also. And probably they were going to do it as a fundraiser. I think what they found out is it's a lot of work, and maybe they didn't raise enough money, because the next year they didn't do any of them. But we are doing that. It's a great way to love the community. Of course, we do Colossal Fourth. I don't know if you know this, but if you're a nonprofit in our community, there are not a lot of places for you to meet in the community, but our church is one of them. So we allow many, many groups to come in and use our facilities because it's so needed. It's behind the scenes. Not a lot of people know about it, but it is what this congregation does to bless the world around us, and it's particularly Vail. We're like yeast. We're in the background, just changing it up a little bit, bringing flavor to our world. Then the next part of it is this. It's the tree branch, where Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this. You take a mustard seed and you plant it in the ground. Pretty soon it grows into a sprout, and then it grows into a tree, and then the birds come and nest in its branches. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Now, this should be very familiar with you, because over the last year, we've been talking about how God has called us to do what we call the discipleship life cycle, right? Where a seed is planted, and then it sprouts, and then it grows, and then it bears fruit, and we love the community around us, and inside that fruit is what? More seeds. And the cycle goes over and over again. This should be very, very familiar with you. As a matter of fact, that's what we're called to do, and we see that so plainly in this scripture verse. But Jesus says it's a mustard seed. Now, I don't know if you know much about mustard seeds, but mustard seeds are very, very tiny. They're so tiny, you can barely see it. They're like, if you had a grain of sand, it would be like 3 or 4 times the size of a mustard seed. You look at it, and it's like, is that a speck? Is that a dead bug or something like that? No, it's a mustard seed. Tiniest of seeds. It goes in the ground, and all of a sudden, it creates this huge mustard tree. It's incredible. It's amazing what God can do with just the littlest of things and what he creates out of it. So wonderful that the birds come and sit in their branches. And I think that the birds sitting in the branches is the birds are finding a place for shelter and refuge. And that's kind of our pillar also, is that we're a shelter or a refuge in our community. That's what God's called us to do. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world around us that the church does not look good. There's a lot of scandal going around. I don't know if you've been reading the news, but there's just huge scandal. And there are a lot of people in our community that think that all Christians are the same. Everything's the same. All they want is your money, or they want to have scandal. And, you know, they look at some of these guys on TV, and they're driving. Like, there's this one TV preacher that has his own Airstream jet that he goes around or something like that. And I just think that God wants us to have a simpler life. I think he wants to share the gospel in as simple way as possible. But a lot of people see that stuff, and they get turned off by the church. They do. And yet, the church can be so powerful in the world around us. We can, with the tiniest of seeds, do some amazing things. Back in the time of Rome and the Roman persecution, the church was being persecuted by the world around them because of politicians. Nero was a failed politician, and he blamed the church. He says it's their fault. So they rounded up the church and they put them in dungeons. They put them in the lion's den. They watched them in the gladiator games and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's all the church, right? It's the Christian church. It's all them. But then there was a plague. And then there was another plague. The second plague was called the Plague of Cyprian. And it was a horrible plague. It was killing people by the thousands. And when you had the plague, basically what they did was they threw you outside for you to die. Or they, like, had the whole house die, and they kind of left for what? It was a nasty thing, but not the Christians. During the Plague of Cyprian, the Christians said, you know what? God has called us to love the world around us, to be a place of shelter and refuge. And so they went into Rome, and they cared for all the people that were dying of the plague. Eusebius, who was an early church historian, wrote this about that plague. He said, most of our brethren, most of our Christians, showed love and loyalty in not sparing themselves while helping one another, tending to the sick with no thought of danger, and gladly departing this life with them after becoming infected with the disease. Many who were nursing others to health died themselves, thus transferring their death to themselves. The best of our own brothers lost their lives in this way. Some presbyters, deacons, and laymen, a form of death based on strong faith and piety that seems in every way equal to martyrdom. They would also take up the borders of the saints, close their eyes, shut their mouths, and carry them out on their shoulders. They would embrace them and wash and dress them in burial clothes, and soon receive the same services themselves. The heathen were the exact opposite. The people living in Rome, they pushed away those with the first signs of the disease and fled from their dearest. They even threw them half dead into the roads and treated unburied corpses like refuse in hopes of avoiding the plague of death, which, for all their efforts, was difficult to escape. Do you hear that? Do you hear how the church loved the community around them and brought the hope of God to them? Would we as a church be willing to do that? Would you, as part of the church, be willing to do that? Would you be able to sacrifice your life so that others may hear the gospel, so that others may see the love of God? It's a challenge. It's truly a challenge. We live in the most wonderful time of life. We have so many conveniences, and life is so wonderful, but I do wonder if we would follow after the early church. Be willing to sacrifice of ourselves to do that. What gives us the strength? How do we find enough courage to be like the early church, to love the community around us so much that they would not notice it? That if we were gone, they would say, man, I'm so upset that they're gone. And the answer, of course, is the mustard seed. The mustard seed. The little tiny seed. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's so tiny. It plants in the ground and God can use it. Because it's not our faith, it's not what we do, it's what God does. Because God has called all of us to be his own. And God does amazing things through his church. He does amazing things through you. If you are part of the kingdom of God, he's going to work in you in ways you can't possibly imagine because he loves you. And he's in charge. And he's large. And all it takes is a little bit of faith, and God does the rest. He gives you the faith, and then he does the rest. It's an amazing thing. I went to a workshop about 2 years ago. It was with an organization called the Lutheran Foundation. And I'd heard of them, but I didn't know what they did. I always saw them at conferences, and I'd say, what do you guys do? And they'd explain it. It's like, I still don't understand what you do. Because I'm dense, all right? I have to have it like 5 or 6. I have to go to the workshop to find out what they actually do. So I went to the workshop, and basically what they are is a mutual fund. And as people get later into life and they've got assets or an estate, they can work with the Lutheran Foundation to help them set up their estate so that it meets all the goals in life. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's basically a mutual fund. But I was in this presentation, and they talked about a church in the Midwest, a small church. I mean, a very, very small church in this small dying town in the Midwest. And somebody had died in the congregation and had set it up that when they died, the money that was going to that they were going to have in their estate was going to go to this congregation. And it was a lot of money when this person passed away. Well, the congregation was small, and they didn't know what to do with this money because, I mean, their sanctuary was built. Everything was, they literally scratched their heads and said, what are we supposed to do with this? But this person wanted us to do something with this. And so they got together and they brainstormed, and they realized that one of the things that the community was missing was the community center. And they had some extra land on their property, and they said, well, what if we just took this money, the estate that was coming to us, and what if we just built a community center, a place for people in the community to come and gather and just be community? And so they did. They built this community center, and they said, you know, we don't want to run it, but this belongs to the community. So they actually deeded the whole entire thing, and they had this big ceremony. And they gave the keys to this community center to the town. And it was a huge gift to this town. I mean, it was just wonderful. And I guess the cousin was there for the dedication. And the cousin came and said, I am so impressed with what you are doing because you're not looking internally, you're looking externally. You're looking at the community around you and saying, what can we do? That when we die, we want our estate to go also to you so that you can use it to love the community around you. Powerful, powerful, powerful statement. God has not called us as a church to just be insular and to look internally. What God has called us to do is to use our gifts and our talents and how he's called us as church to love the community around us. And we are so good at that. And what a blessing it has been that we can do that. And I am so honored and proud of this congregation because that's how this congregation views the community around us. But more importantly than that, God gives us the faith and the yeast and the life that we get to share that with the world around us, to let them know that the kingdom of God isn't about armies, it's not about swords, it's not about power. But it's about a love of God who loved us so much he became flesh and dwelt among us to show us that love conquers all. That's the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Responding to God's word, we receive our tithes and our offerings.